Please do be seated. We now come to read from God's Word from Romans chapter 5, verses 6 to 11, and Hilary will read God's Word to us now.
Romans chapter 5, starting at verse 6. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if, when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not only is this so, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Amen.
Thank you, Hilary. Well, friends, we come for a brief moment or two to reflect on those who have given their lives for the sake of their country. And we are very grateful to them and for the freedom that we have that often to our shame we take for granted. But we are invited, I think, to remember on what drives on men and women to make the ultimate sacrifice and to give themselves for others. And that, of course, is love. And that is what we come to remember this morning, both in physical but also in spiritual terms. And I want to suggest briefly five things that we should reflect on this morning about love that drives men and women to sacrifice themselves for others. First of all, I think we should remember the strength of love. You'll see some scriptures there from Song of Songs and from Romans. They tell us that many waters cannot drown love, neither can the flood deluge it. It cannot be killed. Love is strong. It is a strong and stronger than death. The love of God that drives men and women to give themselves sacrificially for the sake of others. But yet in Romans chapter 5 and verse 6 that Hilary read to us a moment or two ago, we are reminded of a greater, purer and higher love that is greater than the highest and purest of all human loves, and that is the love of God that comes to us in the person of Jesus. While we were still powerless and unable to rescue ourselves from the bonds of sin that enslaved us spiritually, as surely as many nations in the past and in the present are enslaved politically and physically. He came to us in our need. While Paul says we were still enemies of God, while our hearts were still hard against him, he came to save and to seek and to set free that which was lost. We remember the strength of love. The strength of love we have as we mourn those who no longer walk with us in this life. As we remember those who have given their lives for their country. And perhaps for many years ago that has happened, but yet we still feel the pain of their loss. But also we remember the love of God in Christ that reaches out to us and down to us, and of which we are reminded afresh this morning. But also we're invited to remember the showing of love as well. Love must be demonstrated in concrete terms. And we are pointed to the very reason why love is shown. The struggle between God and man. Man not being in that place of being right before God. Here Paul is directing our attention to what is beyond all the struggles, all the war, all the conflict that we see and is part of our long and dark, lamentable catalogue of human history, as Churchill was to describe it. Why are all of these things the way they are? We ask ourselves these questions, and rightly so. What lies behind it, therefore, is this: our continuing struggle with ourselves within, and our struggle with God as well. Paul tells us God demonstrated his love for us in Christ, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While our hearts were still enslaved by sin and far from him, he was reaching out to us and reaching down to us. Remembering the showing of love. Love is not just being talked about, not being thought about, not being written about, not even being sung about. It is being demonstrated in concrete incarnational terms. As we remember in a few weeks, how Jesus, the joy of heaven, as Wesley puts it in his great hymn, comes down to earth. God made manifest in human form. God did not just say he loved us, God showed us his love by sending us Christ to be our rescuer and our redeemer. So we remember the showing of love. But also we're invited to remember the sacrifice of love as well. Here we see love in action. Again, not are we thinking about it or talking about it, we see it in action. And we're taken to the very heart of what love is. It is sacrificial. True love means putting others first, even our lives. We count our lives as of lesser importance to the lives and to the benefits of those around us. Jesus himself tells us this, John 15 and 13. Greater love hath no man than this, than he lay down his life for his friends. Here is the most noble and self-sacrificial thing that a man or woman is capable of doing. And we come to honour and remember rightly those who down through countless years and generations have done precisely that for us and for our freedom. But yet again, Paul points us away from these things, noble though they are, to an even greater love than the greatest love of man. In verse 8 of Romans 5, Paul presents us with the love of God. And what does God do in Christ? Paul tells us very clearly and very plainly that God sacrifices himself in love, not for those who were his friends, not for those who were on the same side, which is what we do when we go to war and nations go to war. No, that is not what the Lord does. He sacrifices himself not for those who were his friends, but for those who were his enemies. Jesus puts into practice that which he had stated, love your enemies, forgive those who persecute you. And even as Christ is dying on the cross, he says, Father, forgive. Here Paul says, is love taken to the highest of all possible places that is way beyond the greatest and purest of all human love. To die for our enemies. To make the enemy become your friend. That is what God in Christ has done. He died for us, says Paul, while we were still enemies of God and by nature children of God's wrath. He died to draw us to himself. He died to draw us closer to him. He died to put an end to that continued war between God and man. For he has made peace, says Paul elsewhere, by the shedding of his blood, by the breaking of his body. And he goes on to say, he has torn down the wall of separation. Man is now free to enter into God's presence without fear and without condemnation. The sacrifice of love. But why is this love given in such sacrifice? Well, that brings us to the fourth thing that we reflect on this morning, and that's in verses 9 and 10 of, again, Romans chapter 5. We're also invited to remember the salvation that comes through love. Here, in effect, what Paul is telling us is what sacrificial love has purchased for us. And he sums it up in one amazing and glorious word, and it is the word salvation. We come this morning, yes, to remember the political and the physical salvation that we in other countries enjoy because it has been purchased for us through the sacrificial love and death of others. And we are now able to enjoy the peace that their death has made possible. But as we remember this, friends, in political and physical terms, Paul is reminding us this morning, we must also remember this in spiritual terms as well, for our act of remembrance to be complete and thoroughly based upon the truths of God's word. For Paul is reminding us here that through the greatest sacrifice of all, the sacrifice of the Son of God carried out in love, we have through faith in him been set free. Not from a political bondage or other forms of human oppression. We have been set free from the greatest bondage that lies behind all bondage, the bondage and slavery to sin, that we might taste his forgiveness, know his cleansing, know his freedom, and enter into new life that Jesus' sacrifice has purchased for all of us this morning. We remember, therefore, that because Christ died for us, we have tasted through faith in him the glories of his salvation. And it is that, Paul says, that we must remember to make our remembrance complete. But finally and fifthly, we are also here to remember the service we offer because of love. Look at verse 11 of the same chapter. Paul moves on to consider the issue now of what should be our response. How should we respond to all of these things that we have been pondering and reflecting this morning with regard to what God in Christ has done for us? Well, the response we are to make, says Paul, is to give ourselves in loving service. We are to give ourselves to seek to work with others for reconciliation. Not only between man and man, but also between man and God. We are, says Paul, to give ourselves in loving service to others and to God because we have received his salvation rather than out of an attempt to earn it or to justify why we should receive it. We have received God's salvation through faith in Christ as a free and gracious and generous gift of love. And therefore we work and serve the Lord and work and seek to promote peace, not to earn our spiritual brownie points in the hope that God may stamp our card one day and allow us to enter into the kingdom of heaven. No, we do not do it for these reasons. We do these things because we have already received the joy of his salvation and we know the peace and the assurance of sins forgiven. We therefore are called and commissioned afresh as God's people this morning to reach out to our broken and needy world with the love of God, the sacrificial love of God that we have received and that brought us feeling that as we share it with others and as God pours his love into our heart, as Paul says in the same chapter, others might be blessed, others might be touched by the love of God and through that come to know the salvation through faith in Jesus that we ourselves have come to know also. That is what we are about. That is what God would call us to do this morning. And therefore, Paul says, that should be our response of our loving service as we remember the strength of God's love shown to us in the sacrificing of the very Son of God himself, that through faith in him we might know the salvation that his death has purchased for us. And go and serve others in his name and with that same love and with that same message of salvation and hope. And so we remember, yes, this morning, friends, those who gave themselves for us and for our country. But also we remember on this Remembrance Sunday, the one who gave himself for us and the one who calls us as his children to give ourselves afresh to him this morning, even our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us pray together. Lord, we thank you that, Lord, you give us this time of the year that we, Lord, might remember, yes, those who have given their lives for us, but Lord, also that we might remember how you gave your life for us and that, Lord, through that we might know peace and forgiveness. Help us, we pray, Lord, to go forth from this place, Lord, into the week to come to share that saving gospel, the love of Christ, the good news of what Jesus has done with those who know it not, that they, like we, might know and taste the joy of your salvation and the calm assurance of sin forgiven. And this we ask in Jesus our Lord and Savior's name. Amen. Well, friends, let's bring our worship to its conclusion. We're going to stand and sing a great hymn of praise. Guide me, O thou great Jehovah, pilgrim through this barren land. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you and turn his face towards you and grant you his peace this day and always. Amen.